The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul.
And it is the soul of Jefferson. However, we are missing one of our soul brothers here this morning. Mr. Raposa did not show up because he has family in town. Oh, what an excuse.
Yeah, he's always got an excuse.
He just didn't want to be here. He wants a day off. He wants to lie by the pool and relax.
Yeah, not be with us.
That's right, yes. So we are, Wynn Carpenter and Janet Chandler are holding down the fort this morning.
There you go. Welcome to Jefferson's State of Mind.
And it is our state of mind. Wynn, what did you hear from James Gallagher this week?
Well, there was something said at the Capitol. You know, he was talking to Congress and saying that we need to do something different with our state. So maybe there's a state split coming. I don't know. He's planting the seeds, sprinkling the seeds, what have you. It was very short. The clip that I saw was very short. It wasn't the entire speech. And I did, in my mind, a deep dive of trying to find the information, and I couldn't find the entire speech, so I'm going to have to do another deep dive and see what I can find. But it was just a short little blurb. So that leads me to believe that something was said.
At least it is still on the board. We
yes.
are looking at it.
Yes.
We are KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. Your talk radio. If you obviously, if you can't get the radio, you can get it online, and that is kcnrradio.com. That's the only way that I can get it up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily it's there, and our shows are all archived. So if you can't listen on Sunday morning because you're still in bed asleep, which I thoroughly understand, you can get it any other time by going to the archives.
There you go.
And if you wish to call in this morning, 605-4567. There is technically a difference between O and zero.
There is.
O is a letter, zero is a number.
That's correct. And if you enter the wrong one, sometimes as a password, it doesn't work.
That's right. Yes. Although I think most of the time they kind of interchange it, so if you can't tell if it's a zero or an O. Okay.
Yeah, strike a line through it, then you'll know.
We digress.
There you
yes.
go. Hey, I just want to thank Lisa for helping out my friend, JC. She's been very helpful, and I just wanted to give her kudos for helping him out. So I just wanted to say that.
Lisa,
yes.
Thank you for being a good friend.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Mark Baird is supposed to call in this morning at some time. We never can tell for sure because the man is busy and he's not always near a phone. And if he's near a phone, the reception may not be good. But we will be looking forward to having him call in if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about voters.
Voters.
Elections.
Yeah. We the people.
What's going on? We had a presidential speech this week. Which some stations carried it, but some didn't because they figured, why? It's just the president speaking about voters and elections and election reform. So what could that possibly matter to our country?
Yeah, what would the citizens possibly know or learn from that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have the president at the federal level talking about election reform. We have at the state level, the Department of Homeland Security is looking into election vulnerabilities in the systems.
Yep.
And we have Mullen sending out, Secretary of Homeland Security, sending out letters asking four states to ensure election integrity after finding out that there are 250,000 non-citizens on voter rolls. And I would think that 250,000 is a very low estimate.
Yes.
I think you could probably find that in California alone.
I think they did. There were some numbers that were shot around about California and New York and a couple other blue states that were estimates, but then they shot out some numbers that were in red states that they did find because they were able to go in and do the deep dive. So there are quite a bit of – there's a volume of numbers there that is unimaginable, but it's there.
It's quite telling when yes. our governor in California – makes it illegal for you to even look at those numbers, to even
right.
question it, to try to get that information.
Mm-hmm.
If there's nothing to hide, what are you trying to hide?
Right. And as Charter County, don't we have a right to do some of these things and look into things and do a deep dive and clean them up and all that kind of stuff? Don't we have that as a right? Whether a charter or a general county, either way, but as a charter county, doesn't that help our standing a little bit?
Well, maybe. How can you possibly have a free country that belongs to the people if you can't even question or investigate whether or not the voting is being done accurately, correctly, and fairly?
Right.
So let's look at what Trump said. He was concerned mostly about election reform and foreign interference, mm-hmm. primarily from China.
China, right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he decertified or declassified several documents mm-hmm. that show that there was interference.
Right.
It is not questioned. It is actual. And he wants to correct those vulnerabilities against foreign interference. Why would the Democrats or anybody be against making sure that our elections are fair? How could that possibly be an issue? It should be nonpartisan. Whether you're Democrat, Independent, Green Party, Democrat, Socialists of America, or Republicans, wouldn't you want the election to be fair? Wouldn't you want every vote cast for your party to be counted?
Right. You want everything counted fairly. And the thing is, it's the moral and ethical portion of this whole thing. They don't even talk about that. They're just talking about, you know, whether they're hiding it, they're concealing it, and how it's all going about. It's not even talking about being morally and ethically correct. That never factors in. That's never discussed.
And we were warned way back 250 years ago mm-hmm. that the only way our governmental system was going to work is if you had moral and informed people.
Right.
Morality is the key to our republic.
Do the right thing even when nobody's looking, or especially when nobody's looking. You know, that's the problem, that they don't even consider that. They don't think that. And that's the problem that's so frustrating to me, is that we can't trust them because they're not trustworthy. They're lying, they're concealing, they're being conniving, they're manipulating. Whoever they are, that's what's happening.
Well, these documents that the president brought forth show that during the Obama administration, in the daily briefings, they were hiding information about China's actions in
right.
our elections.
Mm-hmm.
And the documents are there. This isn't just, well, I think maybe. No, the documents are there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they found burn bags.
Yes.
Which means bags in which documents are put and they're supposed to be burned and
right.
destroyed. For some reason, they were not. Whether it was incompetence or whether it was by design by patriots who said, I am not going to destroy that information. I'm going to leave it and hope that somebody in the next administration finds it.
And they finally did.
They finally did, and it's there. The question now for the Department of National Intelligence and the CIA, how did all the cover-up happen?
Right.
How was that allowed?
I know.
How did we have within our government, not just a president, but all of his cronies, who were willing to hide information about the invalidity of our elections?
Well, and to me, maybe I'm ignorant to this, but I'm thinking this is all treasonous, and everybody that's got their hand in the pie, they're guilty. They are guilty. If they're not flipping tables and talking about this stuff and putting it out there so the public can consume the information, they're guilty, and they should be treated as such. And, you know, and find out, you know, how much guilt they do have and how much responsibility they do have for doing the concealing of these things and lying and manipulation. I know there are great levels of impropriety with this. So how do you handle that? I don't know. I'm not.
I kind of feel like the Thursday speech was like the hors d'oeuvres before the main meal.
I'm hoping. I think we have Mark Baird on the phone.
Yes, we do.
Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Living the dream.
much better now that you're here.
There you go.
Oh, really? Okay, well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I don't believe you, but all right.
How's it going out there?
Well, good. I mean, you know, it is what it is in California. I'm just looking at the national gas price average, and nationally the average, some states lower, some states a little bit higher, is about $3.99, and in California it's over $5.50.
I can get it in Bernie at $4.99.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cheap.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. I never thought I'd hear myself say that $4.99 gas is
cheap. I know. That's what I keep thinking. Hey, gas is down to $4.99, as if that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, and Avgas nationally in California is $7.50-ish, and the further east you get, the more it gets down towards $5.
Well, how does jet fuel figure in there?
Well, it's not, jet fuel is, Avgas is different than jet fuel.
Exactly.
Jet fuel is, because jet fuel is just a cheaper product to make. Although, even though diesel fuel is a byproduct of making gasoline, diesel fuel is more expensive than gasoline in all of the save-the-environment states like California.
I mean, people complain about the cost of airline tickets, but, hey, folks, you got to figure in the cost of fuel for that airline.
Yeah.
Well, it's the largest single contributor to the cost of the ticket is fuel.
Wow. It has to be, yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, California, the system is rigged, and it's rigged because the taxpayers of California literally pay for the Democratic Party to stay in power. We're taxed. The tax money is given in grants or whatever to non-governmental agencies. Those non-governmental agencies blow it on whatever they blow it on. But a certain percentage of it, they donate back to Democratic candidates. So you're literally funding your own destruction here.
And when I was a teacher, I refused to pay fees to the California Teachers Association because that money went to donations to the Democrats and the liberal parties. So
yeah.
I had to join, but I was a non-agent. I was an agency fee payer. I paid all those fees necessary to run the union, but nothing that went towards political contributions.
Well, there was a Supreme Court case about that, and it was found that it would be unconstitutional to force people to join unions where their dues were used for political contributions. And the states went right ahead to ignore that case, and especially in California. And in fact, we have a problem, really, because the Supreme Court is issuing opinions all the time, and states like California simply ignore those opinions. In fact, Judge Lawrence Van Dyke, who is probably on the short list to be a Supreme Court justice should an opening arise where he would be selected, in other words, a conservative president, then he just issued an opinion, a dissenting opinion, in the California knife rights case that has just went down to defeat in front of a three-judge panel. He was one of the judges. And he said that nothing has changed in California jurisprudence in the last 30, 40 years. Bruin didn't change anything. Heller didn't change anything. McDonald didn't change anything. Sitano didn't change anything. He says the Supreme Court continues to instruct the lower courts how to behave, and lower courts like the Ninth Circuit Court just ignore them. He said, so even after the issuance of Bruin, and then we have the Lopez case, the Hawaii case that changed Wolford v. Lopez, and that changed everything even dramatically for the Second Amendment, then the courts just continue to ignore those cases. Nothing, literally, nothing has changed in California. They still have a pseudo shall may issue permit scheme. You still can't get a permit to openly carry. You don't have any more latitude under the Second Amendment than you had before Bruin was issued. The California district courts, even though they're federal courts, continue to find for the liberals 100% of the time. In 100% of the Second Amendment cases, the en banc panel has found against the Second Amendment 100% of the time. And Van Dyke says that it is time for the Supreme Court to bench slap the lower courts. Now, actually, Van Dyke can be accused of all kinds of language. He, you know, he's accused all the time of kind of being a cowboy in his language with his dissents, but bench slap is actually a term that comes from Black's Law Dictionary. And it means for the superior courts, in other words, the United States Supreme Court, to instructively punish the lower courts for not adhering to Supreme Court directives. And these rebukes should come in the form of simply overturning lower court decisions at the Supreme Court level without a bunch of falderal. In other words, you reverse them. You do that's what Satano was. The Satano v. Massachusetts case was a per curiam opinion by the Supreme Court where they simply, in about a page, they never had a big trial, they didn't have a bunch of witnesses, they took a look at Massachusetts Supreme Court verdict where they declared that stun guns were dangerous and unusual, and even that court, the Massachusetts Supreme Court, found that if Jamie Satano had used a gun and killed the guy, they would have had less trouble than she simply displayed her stun gun and he ran away.
Wow.
They said, well, you should have, if you'd have shot the guy, you wouldn't even have been here. But, you know, and the court found that was so ridiculous, they simply reversed the order in a per curiam decision. It was about a page. There weren't any witnesses. There wasn't a trial. They just said, this is so egregious and outrageous, it's not going to stand. And Satano went on to be a pretty important case. It was part of Bruin and part of some of the other decisions. But, that's what the Supreme Court did. They bench slapped the Michigan State Supreme Court. And that's what Van Dyke is calling for the Supreme Court to do, simply reverse these decisions. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It doesn't have to take years. Alito or Thomas or somebody, Kavanaugh or Barrett or whoever, simply writes an opinion saying, no, this is so egregiously wrong, you're going to reverse it. And then they mail it to the state.
So then, these judges that are serving on the Ninth Circuit, are those judges serving for life?
All federal judges serve for life.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we got that out
there. They call it a time of good behavior.
Yeah,
so your life is a time of good behavior. Well, I wonder if they could say that about Hitler.
Well, the thing is, too, in the Constitution, when it says the word behavior, when it's noted in there, it's in bold print, all caps. So that word means something. That means that they should be serving in good behavior. So when these judges are not serving in good behavior, shouldn't they be removed? And if so, what's the vessel that is used to get them out of there?
The legislature.
Oh, for They're California.
Well, at the federal level, the legislature is in charge of the judges. So we have a legislature at the federal level that is inoperative. They can't get anything done anyway. So,
wow.
Mark, we've already seen Kimberly Mueller, the judge on a couple of your cases, completely ignored the three-judge panel for the Ninth Circuit, and when they told her to go back and correct her mistake, she didn't. She refused, and that's how it ended up getting a decision that has gone to the en banc. So do you have any information about the 2A case at this point?
Well, it's in front of the en banc. It's been heard. Oral arguments were heard. They take them under advisement, and they'll issue a decision whenever they feel like it, because, once again, there's no mechanism to make a federal court judge do their job. That's something that legislatively ought to be addressed, I think. And it could be years, literally. They could wait till I'm dead and then issue the opinion, well, the guy's dead, so it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, that's how these things work, and I think really, I think fundamentally, and I'm not just talking about the Second Amendment. That happens to be my brew of choice, but there are other cases that are just as important, like the Janus case, where states can't compel people to join state employees' unions when the dues are going to support political causes, and even in the Janus case, well, the state just totally ignores it. The state ignores whatever they want, whenever they want, and they seem to get away with it. And look at voter ID. That's an 80-20 issue. Even the majority of Democrats want to see some form of voter ID. I mean, it just kind of makes sense. It, you know, you have to show ID. Well, there was a story that just came out at Olive Garden. If you buy the whatever pass, the pasta pass, where you get free unlimited pasta at Olive Garden, and you got to buy that, well, you have to show a driver's license or some form of federal ID so that they can honor the pass. I mean, you know, they're not going to just let anybody that walks in with a card, because you could loan it to your neighbor, your sister, your cousin. So they want to know it's you that's getting all-you-can-eat pasta. But we don't require that when you vote. I mean, what? And even the majority of Democrats want that, but the Democratic Party knows that they will start losing elections if voter identification can be verified, because they can't cheat anymore. Or well, not that they can't. It would be a lot harder to cheat.
Well, I think a Democrat legislator actually said recently, mm-hmm. if we get voter ID, the Democrats will never win another election.
Yeah, it was that young lady, Slotkin or something like that?
Slotkin. I don't think she's a lady, actually. I think she pretends to be a lady. She's actually a man. He is a man.
So he's a pretender.
Dressed up as a woman and expects us to join him in his fantasy world.
So there's no mental health issues there?
No.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether that's true or not. I suspect certainly there are places and there are times when Democrats certainly would win elections, even if they couldn't cheat. But the whole point is the system was designed so that you win or lose on your merit. If Republicans are doing a crappy job, then Democrats should win. If Democrats are doing a crappy job, then conservatives should win. I mean, that's the way the whole system is supposed to work, but it doesn't work that way. Because we're funding our own suicide.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. It's state-sponsored suicide. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at cap and trade, when you look at the state of California, they now have a thing they call fee-based agencies, because they can't raise taxes anymore. You know, there's just no political will to raise taxes, well, in certain instances anyway. So they created agencies that are fully funded by their fees. Now, these agencies now go out to communities in rural California, and they create programs for which you will have to pay a fee to participate in this program. How long does the program last? Well, forever. And they'll sit there right in the front of the meeting and say, you know, there's a fee for this, because, of course, we got to get paid, and we're a fee-based organization. So what they do is cook up these nonsensical, stupid, do-nothing programs for which they send out swarms of agents and officers, and they make your life miserable, and then you pay them in exchange for that misery.
For those of you who are not informed, the swarms of officers and agents, that comes from our Declaration of Independence.
Yes, it does. And then they have trials that are far from the seat of the people. In other words, if your county, if you ask for a jury trial and your county finds you not guilty, then the state will simply charge you on the state level, and they drag you down to Sacramento to be tried, where you don't have any jury of your peers.
Or the federal government will bring charges, which has happened.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
which has happened. So
when that happens, too, the Ninth Circuit, where do you go? Oh, we have to go to Seattle.
Yeah.
Why are we going to Seattle instead of in California, where the case where you live, you reside, and you brought it forth against California, but you had to go to Seattle to sit in front of all these judges to have them say yay or nay or whatever they're going to do, but we had to go to the expense of going clear to Seattle.
Well, you go to Seattle, and then years later, at a cost of thousands and thousands of dollars and days of your time, which you never recover.
Right.
And even if you win, you never recover any of that.
No.
Now, I'm not saying that justice is free. It certainly isn't free. However, it should be as inexpensive to the people affected as is humanly possible. And that's certainly not the case. I mean, and then in the Ninth Circuit, we have a majority of liberal judges, and like in my case, you could see when they walked in, it looked like they were sucking on a pickle. I mean, they looked like they wanted to be anywhere but where they were, and their minds were already made up. It didn't matter what was said in the courtroom.
Yeah.
And in the Wolford v. Lopez case, it's very interesting because, once again, Justice Barrett, aside from Alito and Thomas, wrote an affirmation to that case, saying that and reaffirming that if you define an arm, that means anything that could be used offensively or defensively in the event of conflict with another person, anything, okay? Now, and then it also means if a law that is passed by the state either implicates wear or implicates to keep, which means to own or to have,
mm-hmm.
or bear, which means to carry, then that law has implicated the Second Amendment, and therefore it is up to the state or to prove 100% proof that historical analogs existed in the founding, 1791, that were widely held, widely accepted, and widely enforced for like purposes in a like manner. In other words, the how and the why, to justify that law was accepted at the founding. The states can't do that. They can't do it in 99% of the cases, but they don't care because then they go back and they say, well, it doesn't have to be a dead ringer. In other words, if we want to ban automobiles, we can ban red wagons too because they have four wheels after all.
Right,
and
of course.
We could ban, in fact, we could ban tricycles because, you know, it doesn't have to be a dead ringer, and they may not have four wheels, but they have three.
Ban unicycles, why not?
And they may not be driven by adults, but they're certainly driven by humans.
That's right.
So, in other words, the state of California is going to stretch this until it's such a transparent lie that any idiot can see through it, but their judges affirm it because they own those judges.
There you go.
Mark, we are up against a break. Will you hang on and come back with us?
Sure.
Okay. This is KCNRradio.com.
Now, as I've been predicting, thanks to the work of our president, it appears your interest rates are finally on the way down. How will that affect you? Well, I'm joined by Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
What do you think about the great news? What does that mean for the sellers that you're working with?
You know, Sean, I think that the biggest thing is that as interest rates go down, it serves as gravity to value. So as rates go down, the value of homes goes up. And as those rates go up, the value of homes goes down. So as we watch rates going down in the future, we could expect that the asset value of real estate is going to start to go up. So the question is, do you sell now or do you sell later? Do you buy now or you buy later? I would say either way, as long as you're in the market, you're going to receive the benefit.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Talk to the only agent in town I recommend. Go online to reddinghomes.com. That's Redding, R-E-D-D-I-N-G, homes.com, or just Google Josh Barker. That's Josh Barker, and then you can start packing.
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at premieroilchange.com and receive your gift. In Redding, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisadro locations.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi friends, RC here from Tobacco and Brew, sharing this month's Cigar of the Humidor. H. Upman Sunrise. Grown, fermented, and aged at the H.A. Fernandez factory, this stick is medium in body, offering an Ecuadorian Connecticut seed wrapper, along with robust, hand-selected Nicaraguan long filler. Notes of coffee, cedar, and nuts make this a perfect cigar for any time of day. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Smell of Liberty.
Terry didn't send me a playlist this week, so I'm winging it.
There you go.
Hey, I like that one.
I like that one.
This is KCNRradio.com, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, and we are back with Mark Baird.
Mark, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, okay, good, good. All right, did you want to resume on the judge issue that you were talking about, or did you seal that one up, or what else
well,
do you have?
Well, I mean, getting back to the judges, we're kind of in a position where we can't fight that unless the Supreme Court does something, and that's what Judge Van Dyke was suggesting, and he wasn't very covert about it. I mean, he said it right out. And once again, Article 3 is very clear. All matters of equity and law are under the jurisdiction of one Supreme Court and other inferior courts, as Congress may establish from time to time. Well, the fact that Congress may establish these courts from time to time infers that as Janet said, the remedy is legislative, and Congress can defund these courts if they don't follow the will of the Supreme Court, and that's another avenue. But boy, I can hear it now. Trump is a totalitarian because Congress is going to defund the Ninth Circuit Court until they start behaving according to Supreme Court precedent.
Do it. Do it. Please do it.
No, I mean, that will just never happen.
Yeah.
The publicity machine would go into high gear and the crazy people would be yelling and screaming because the Supreme Court is not followed. However, when the worm turns, and it inevitably does, and there is a liberal Supreme Court, and if conservative federal courts don't follow their idiotic sayings, then, the shoe's on the other foot, and now we'll have this, oh, we should defund these courts, or, right. They're already talking about packing the Supreme Court just because they don't like the way it turns out.
Yeah.
So where do you go with this? And I have an answer to that. You have to vote differently. That's the only answer in California if people vote differently. I mean, we have been robbed. We've been stolen blind by the establishment. SB1, for example, the dam removal money, $8 billion we're going to pay back. We still have about 35 years to go paying that money back at $45 million a year with interest. And none of it went to water storage. None. All of it went to non-governmental organizations who then in turn turned around and donated back to the Democratic Party and the Democratic machine. We have a CalPERS unfunded liability of probably pretty close to $2 trillion. But what will happen to CalPERS? Will there be any reform? The answer is no, because they donate to Democratic Party causes. So, the debt ship is on fire. It's going to sink with all hands on board, and the band is still playing because the Democratic Party still gets money from them.
So what happens with this unfunded liability when there is no longer any money in the coffers to pay these retirees that are CalPERS retirees?
Well, the answer to that obviously is tax increases. I mean, you're going to pay it. We pay it now. There'll be more fee-based agencies, and more of the tax money will go to CalPERS and less to agencies that were previously taxpayer-funded. You have these agencies now that can charge whatever they want, and they're charging you directly, and because then they don't have to call it a tax increase.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a bunch of these idiots show up in Siskiyou County, and they want us to cut back our irrigation water by 30% because temperature increases might be harming the fish. And, you know, we're a fee-based agency, so we asked them, well, at what temperature do we graduate? In other words, let's say we get the temperature to go back down somehow. In nature's world, a few farmers have the ability to make water temperatures go down watershed-wide. At what temperature do we graduate? When do you leave and go home and we stop paying the fees? Oh, well, never, because we're always going to have to be here to check.
Mark, what's the condition of the Klamath River now? Is it still silty? Are the fish dying from silt? Are they dying from parasites? Are they living and everything is just perfect and crystal clear? What's going on?
No. In fact, there's noticeably a very, very large lack of news about how well the fish are doing. They're dying from parasitic worms that come from warmer water, because the four dams in the Klamath River were the only place that cold water came from. There's no water to flush the river anymore. There's algae on the side. We just drove across the Klamath River Bridge going up to Medford the other day, because we don't buy things in California anymore. The taxes are too high. We go to Oregon, where there's no sales tax to buy things. We buy gasoline in Oregon because it's a lot cheaper than it is in California. So on our way to Oregon to spend our money, we looked off the Klamath River Bridge, and there's algae on both sides of the river. And one of the reasons they want to get rid of the dams was because of the toxic algae. Well, low water, warm water, and low water create algae. That's how algae gets its start in the world. So there's more algae. The fish are dying from worms. You don't hear anything about fish thriving or fish counts being dramatically increased. They didn't save a damn one of them. And by their own count, and now they're sending people out to take what little you have left of your irrigation water because the fish need more in-stream flow. Well, the dam was the in-stream flow. Storing that water allowed them to keep the in-stream flow up most of the year.
And you alluded to it, but I want to make sure that everybody understands. Excuse me. California passed a proposition that was for money for water storage facilities to have it built. And none of that money has ever been spent on water storage facilities, but they did use that fund to destroy the Klamath dams. So instead of
That's
building
correct.
Dams, they destroyed dams. In
That's
direct
correct.
Contradiction to what the people voted for. So what good does it even do to vote when you are not, you're laughed at? The government just says, ha ha, fooled you.
Well, it does you no good to vote in county measures because the state simply overrides them or passes a law against them whenever you do it. So you really, in this state, you don't, it's irrelevant what party you're in. You don't have any liberty. You do what you're told. And unless you fight them like we've been doing, and then you live in constant fear that one day they're going to bring 100 cars and lots of guns and come and get you. I mean, you know, we defy them all the time. But that won't work forever because they have more guns than we do. And that's what this boils down to.
When you're talking about the reservoirs and whatnot, you know, the dams coming down and so forth. Well, there's a reservoir just north of L.A., and I don't remember the name of it. It's right along I-5 going down into L.A., after the fire occurred down there, it was noted that reservoir didn't have any water in it. And the year before when we traveled down there, there were boats, people water skiing, you know, water activity out there, fishing, whatever, on that reservoir. It's a good-sized reservoir, and it had activity going. Well, the last time we went down through there, not too long after that fire, there was not a drop of water in that entire reservoir. It was bone dry. You just saw the whole vast bottom of this man-made reservoir. And it was sickening to see that because there wasn't any water there at all. So what happened to all that water? Where'd it go? You know, it makes why wasn't that water there? And come to find out, a lot of these fire hydrants that were amongst the city there were not fired up and literally in use because of lack of water. Well, if that reservoir had had water in it, I don't know if it's all linked together or not because I don't know the dynamics of the infrastructure there, but it really makes you wonder what the heck was going on and was it done by design? Absolutely, it was done by design because there was no water in that reservoir.
But
well, I mean, I constantly wonder if things are being done by design here. Or you wake up in the morning wondering that, but what it boils down to is, in the West, we have a Mediterranean climate. We're subject to intermediate droughts, and when you look at the tree rings of the sequoias or some of the oldest trees in the world, you can see that we've had droughts that lasted 50 years, 100 years, 250 years, 5 years, 10 years. The droughts are common here. But we have tremendous resources, and we literally could have enough water if it was managed properly. This is a management issue. And it's also a political will issue. Excuse me. If people would simply vote to build dams, we could dam up every creek and every river up in the high country where the water comes from.
And that's the point.
And then it would be.
We did vote for it.
We did vote for it to a bunch of crooks who stole the money. And believe me, Republicans were part of those crooks because Jim Nielsen was part of that whole deal as well.
Well, when we first voted on it, was that back in the 50s for the Sites Reservoir?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
down
they knew
Tama
that
County,
the,
yeah.
the
or Glen County.
Yes, and the bone they threw the environmentalists was, we'll let you tear out the four Klamath dams if you shut your mouth about the Sites Reservoir and don't give us any guff about it. And even then, that didn't help. It's still not built. I mean, it may be built at some point. Apparently, there's been some federal money issued for it, but not the state money that we have to pay back. And in addition to that, I've been to meetings, landowners meetings down there, and all those guys are complaining that the water that they signed up for and helped pay for, by the way, because the landowners had to contribute a sizable chunk of money to that deal, after the environmentalists get done with the in-stream flow part of it and the saving the earth part of the water that goes to the ocean without human beings being allowed to touch it, there isn't enough water left for the people who paid for the water to begin with. So
right.
it's a diminishing return where they're not going to get what they paid for to begin with. Now, California is the breadbasket of this nation. And Siskiyou County, by the way, had, I think it was either 60 or 120,000 acre feet water right behind Iron Gate Reservoir that could have put a 250,000 acres into production here, which would provide food and fiber for the state of California and this nation. And by the way, that kind of money is real resource. It's not funny money. You grow it every time. You cut the crop down. You sell it to people. That's real money that we need to save this state and save this nation. And that water went away when the dams got blown up.
And so did the hydroelectric power. But then, of course, we don't need electricity anymore because nobody has an electric car. And the state of California is not requiring everybody to abandon their gas appliances and go with electric. So why would we need more electricity?
My personal utility bill has gone up probably 400% since this whole dam removal thing started. 400%.
Wow.
I don't think they want you in a rural area. I think they want you in stack and pack housing in a 15-minute city in the valley.
Yeah.
Well, I think they want that, but everyone pays for that. In other words, you either pay for it through the type of life that you live. If you're in the Bay Area, you pay for it with crowds and high gas prices and high taxes and violence and robbery and illegals and homelessness and dope. And in the country, you pay for it because the state sends swarms of agents to destroy your lifestyle and make you, and you're going to pay for them to destroy your lifestyle. You're paying for that.
And
yeah.
I think of one quotation from Obama when he was president, and he was talking about electric power. And he told us that what they were doing, the price of electricity would necessarily skyrocket. That was what he told the people of this country.
Hidden in plain sight.
Right there he said it.
Right there, yep.
Well, I mean, it goes back to the old adage where they say, we're going to improve your life and you are going to pay for it whether you like it or not.
Right.
Not improve your life, but change your
life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mark, well, to them it's an improvement.
Yes. Yeah. We have another caller, so I think we will say goodbye to you. Thank you for chiming in and giving us the latest update.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Rich, you are on the line.
Good morning,
Hello.
Rich. How's it going?
You know, every day new battle or two.
So do you have Measure B-ish information?
Yeah, and I was I didn't hear in the last couple of minutes but about what Mark was talking about, but yeah, so Measure B, right? Quick announcement again. The fundraiser is Friday, Anderson VFW. We're getting real good response on donated items, although we really like to try to pick up our ticket sales a little bit. Jones Fort has the tickets, and you can go to vote for B, that's F-O-R, voteforb.com, and get ticket information there. But it'll be a good event. As always, you know, the template that that's used there with the live auction raffle, desserts, all that. So it's just this fun. Good fun. It's always fun to be around like-minded people, of course. I guess even if you're a Democratic Socialist, right, Janet?
Oh, I love the Democratic Socialists. They agree with everything that I believe in, yes.
But even they have a good time hanging out together because they're like-minded. But
no, they don't.
Anyway,
no, they don't have a good time. They don't have fun. They don't have a sense of humor. I think that
you're right.
I think that the liberals are incapable of enjoying life.
Oh, wow.
Look at them.
Thank
they're
you.
Not happy.
They look constipated.
Yes. Besides,
yeah, is there such a thing? Is there such a thing as mental constipation? I think that's proof right there.
Green hair and nose rings. How could you possibly like yourself?
Our attorney Alexander Haberbusch, he's actually out of country on a long planned out of country vacation. The state of California, you know, I'm seeing the pleadings as they're coming in and out from our attorney and the state's attorney, right? Even as recently as last week, and more documents for tomorrow and the next day to get filed. So Mr. Haberbusch asked the court well in advance, hey, that he would be out of country for a couple of weeks and, out of cell phone, email, all that range. But guess what? The state of California doesn't care, and the local court does not care. They are throwing stuff at us. They are lying. The state attorneys are lying. They are filing documents that allege statements by Haberbusch that actually never occurred or they've taken out of context. And that is forcing our attorney, who's trying to vacation, by the way. Did I say he's on vacation? And that's forcing him from Europe, to do work. And it's just the state. I can't. You know, this state lies. The state, they lie and they lie and they lie. Just like they lied with the Huntington Beach voter ID. The state said when they sued Huntington Beach, it's illegal. You can't do it. In fact, it was not illegal. They had to pass SB 1174. During that lawsuit, to then make it illegal for voter ID, the state are a bunch of crooked, lying, you-know-what. And they're starting to do the same thing in this case. They're filing documents and statements that are incorrect and, in fact, lies. It's still, we gotta fight it, right? You're guaranteed to lose if you don't stand up and fight. So, that's all I really wanted to say on Measure B at the moment. Next court date, according to the documents, is August 7 at 8:30. That's what I'm seeing on the document. So that's about all I had on that today, and I appreciate the support for the fundraiser, and we're going to have a good time.
Okay, again, when's the fundraiser?
This Friday, July 24.
Okay.
Yes, at Anderson VFW. Mm-hmm. We will sell tickets at the door, although we prefer them ahead of time just, you know, for the food count and such, but we will sell tickets at the door also. And doors open at 4, dinner and auction at approximately 6. It's going to be a good time.
Okay. Well, great.
Thank you,
right,
Rich.
Thank you.
We are just waiting to find out what happens next.
Yes.
You and me both, sister. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We also have to plug the Second Amendment fundraiser for Mark Baird's lawsuit against the state of California, Baird versus Bonta, and that is coming up on August 21st.
21st, yep.
At the Anderson VFW Hall, mm-hmm. And you can go to keepandbear.com. That's the website. And if you want tickets, they are available at Jones Fort in Redding.
And you can also call Terry Raposa at 246-9706. And you can call Linda Kent at 221-0101.
So there are plenty of ways that you can contact. So far, there has been massive support for this fundraiser, mm-hmm. supporting Mark Baird. It is an issue that affects all of us, whether we have guns or not, because it is supporting and defending the Second Amendment of our Constitution, which is one of the most clearly written amendments.
And keep in mind, too, with this case that Marcus has before the Ninth Circuit, and which may be going to the Supreme Court. And if it does go to the Supreme Court before the Ninth Circuit does their what they should be doing, is just honoring it and saying, yes, it's good to go, and it would only be for California and Hawaii at that point. But if it goes to the Supreme Court, it goes nationwide. Do you think New York's going to be happy with the Ninth Circuit judges and California and Hawaii? I don't think so. It's going to be nationwide.
Strategically, the Ninth Circuit should have just let the sleeping dog lie, or the state should have let the sleeping dog lie,
yes.
take its loss, and confine it to, as Wynn says, Hawaii yeah. and California.
Yeah, but when it's going to happen and it goes to the Supreme Court, you don't think Thomas and Alito and a couple of the others are going to say, well, yeah, it needs to go, and guess what? It's going to be nationwide, problem solved, done, wipe their hands of it, and move on. It's a no-brainer. It's a constitutional right, God-given yeah. constitutional right.
To keepandbear.com, mm-hmm. if you want more information, that's the website, shall not be infringed. I don't even know how they can make you get a CCW permit
right.
under shall not be infringed. Getting a permit to concealed carry is an infringement.
It's a permission slip.
Yes.
A permit is permission.
And as Mark Baird has said many times, if you have to get permission, it's not a right.
Correct.
And if you have a right, you do not need permission.
Mm-hmm.
So what? I don't understand other people's thinking on this.
Right. We have rights to many other things that aren't questioned.
Do you have to get a permit to attend church on Sunday? Do you have to get a permit to demand that you have a jury when you're on trial? Do you have to get a permit not to speak against yourself in a trial? What other right requires permission from the state? None, because then it's not a right.
Right. Correct.
Well, we have several issues at various levels about voting and secure elections. At the state level, we have the Department of Homeland Security asking the states, are your voter rolls clean? And there are four particular states that they have said, no, they're not. And California is one of them. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Nevada also. The Department of Homeland Security, Mark Wayne Mullen, has written them letters and said you need to clean up your voter rolls. Because if we're going to have fair, free, and honest elections, you cannot have illegal aliens registered to vote. Or dead people. I don't understand why that is such an issue. I don't understand how you can say that it is an undue burden to require people to prove their citizenship and have an ID before you can vote. It didn't used to be an issue. When I first started voting, I had to register to vote, and then I went to the voting place, and I had to show my ID, and they checked my ID against my signature and my name on the voting book.
Mm-hmm.
How did it suddenly become so difficult for people to get identification?
Well, when I go to vote, I always give them my ID because my name is spelled differently. My legal name is spelled differently. They always want to spell it the wrong way. And thank you to my parents and family for the misspelling of my name. However, that's what it is. So I give them my ID so they can read it, and then they understand the spelling of my name. Well, I'm showing my ID as to who I am on purpose because I feel, like you, it's important to show that I am legitimate. I am showing you a legal, governmental-issued document saying I am a citizen, per se. And I am able to vote.
And if the state of California had not started giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens
Correct.
And giving them the opportunity to vote, register to vote when they got a driver's license, I would not have to get a real ID for California.
Correct.
That's when it all started.
Yeah.
So I have a real ID. I had jumped through the hoops. It was annoying, but not impossible.
Correct.
And I'm a married woman, and the name on my original Social Security card is not the same as my name now.
It was your maiden name, right?
Yeah,
yes,
and
of course.
It was not an undue burden to get a passport, to get a real ID. Mm-hmm. It's possible. And if I were a minority and I was told that I was so stupid that I didn't know how to get an ID and that's why voter ID should not be allowed, I would be very upset with the party that was telling me how dumb I am.
Right. Right. Jeez. The game is being played.
Yes. So we have voter integrity at the federal level because of China. We have voter integrity at the state level because of illegal aliens being registered to vote. We have voter integrity at the county level.